Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 184.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Frontend, a powerful storefront solution from the team at Shogun. If you're tuned into the e-commerce space, and you likely are since you're a subscriber here at E-Commerce Fastlane, you've no doubt heard about going headless or building a headless commerce storefront. And if you've gone as far as exploring some of these headless solutions, you know there's an incredible amount of info to wade through and to consider when making a storefront pivot. You may have heard that headless commerce means a move from a commerce-led to a content-led solution, or maybe you've heard that it represents a lean-in more towards an API-first approach. Either way, and as with any largely uncharted territory, it can be hard to work out what's growing faster, the technology or the terminology. The great thing about headless commerce is that it can get your Shopify store to load incredibly fast, eliminate the compromises when it comes to your brand's look and feel. You get full front-end control and flexibility, which will help you convert more of your website visitors. Amazing brands like Groove Life, Nomad, OneBlade, and so many more have taken their storefronts headless using Shogun's front-end platform. You can increase your conversion rate with a less than 1 second page load, and more importantly, you can empower your e-commerce team to manage content more efficiently with Shogun front-end. They truly are the next generation in e-commerce experience platform. Request a demo and see what the front end can do for your Shopify brand. You can check them out at getshogun.com. That's G-E-T-S-H-O-G-U-N, getshogun.com/front-end for more details. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are if you're listening here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes, they're available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. I think as of today's recording, we're up to 185-ish episodes. So go check out E-Commerce Fastlane for lots of partners in the Shopify ecosystem and their offers and the kind of problems that they're solving for a lot of brands like you listening today. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Dalipan, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Upscribe. That's U-P-S-C-R-I-B-E, upscribe.io. Now, what they are is they're a subscription solution, and they help Shopify e-commerce merchants move beyond just managing the subscription part of their business, but they also help in growing subscribers. Because I think that's there's two parts of the puzzle here. You can have a brand that has a subscription offering, but if you don't have the right solution that actually helps you grow subscribers, then there's still going to be some challenges of trying to find new people to come, the top of funnel. Great conversation. I know there's going to be a ton of learnings. I jotted down a few questions here for today because I want to make sure we're just rolling into Q4 right now, and it's super important that, you know, brands can be onboarded rather quickly by pivoting over into a subscription offering. I think Dalipan's going to share some interesting case studies about why now might be a great time to get involved with subscription. So hi, Dalipan. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure. So let's talk a little bit on a high level. I mean, I mentioned a bit that, hey, you're a subscription solution and you're connected tight with Shopify's new subscription API. You're a dedicated solution that really helps brands to scale as it relates to subscription offering. But would love to hear it in your own words, specifically some of the problems that you're solving today for store owners.
Yeah, definitely, Steve. And you hit it on the head when you said that we are focused on moving beyond managing subscriptions to growing subscribers. And so what do I mean by that? The landscape so far, the solutions have focused on the basics of what do you do to manage your subscription, both from a customer standpoint and a merchant standpoint. So that's things like changing an address, skipping a shipment, updating a payment card. And so to date, merchants have been able to do that, right? The customer can do that, the end subscriber or the merchant can do it on behalf of the customer. What we're focused on in the short and the long term is really understanding how do we help the merchant focus and improve retention, right? Improve growth and also obviously improve acquisition. Now we can get into the details on that, but retention, growth, and acquisition in that order are where we see how we help merchants win as it relates to subscriptions.
Love it, love it, love it. So let's talk a little bit about your journey, because I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. I mean, a lot of times it's not just, hey, I want a SaaS company with recurring revenue or take a slice of the pie of the upside of, you know, what the solution actually does. I think there's a larger story at play here about Upscribe and the launch of it. So are you able to talk a little bit about, you know, what positions you and the founding team, I guess, on a couple points. Number one, to have the desire to even want to get involved with subscriptions and Shopify. And then number two, where did the expertise come to want to create this platform?
Yeah, great question. So myself and the team as well, my early background is in consumer goods, working with PepsiCo and Unilever in the early days. And then I went on to go work at three startups, all of which have thankfully exited. And they've all been in the B2B e-commerce space. So we're all about e-commerce enablement or merchant enablement in the e-commerce space. And that's also true for the team. Fundamental expertise of working in this space. And as we've been working in this space over the last decade, many of us on the team, we're like, wow, not only is there a next wave happening in e-commerce, we can get into more detail on that in a minute around subscriptions, but can we also think about a more visionary solution, right, that can help merchants really grow and look at subscriptions as the core business model for this next wave of e-commerce. So we had a ton of background in this space. So we're not new one to e-commerce or specifically the verticals that are really relevant for subscriptions, including food and beverage, health and wellness, beauty, cosmetics, and home goods.
Right. So you had a lot of strengths in different verticals. And it's nice that you've kind of got everybody coming together and saying that, hey, you know, we know what it takes to build a merchant or a customer facing kind of product that really does create a lot of revenue and long term growth and profitability. And I think that's a fantastic angle to have your brand.
Definitely.
So you mentioned a little bit about this next wave. So you're intriguing me a bit because I definitely see the benefits in a brand considering to get involved in subscription. And I know there's a whole list of the benefits of why someone may want recurring revenue model in their business, both from the merchant's perspective, like to run the business, but also from a customer's perspective, the convenience factor. So I'd love to understand a little bit about kind of what you're thinking about. What is this next wave of e-commerce? And this, I think you've coined the term like subscription first kind of online store. So I'd love to understand more about that.
Yeah, no, great, Steve. Great question. And you actually hit it on the head. And I love the way you broke down both the customer angle and the merchant angle, because I think they're really important. So first out the gate, I think when we look at e-commerce, the first wave here of e-commerce brands that really scaled and really had a prominence in the market were really playing the acquisition game, right? Primarily on Facebook, then Instagram. And so if you could win at that game, you could really scale up that channel. And then you add in email, affiliates, and other channels as you build out your business. And what we're finding right now, and no surprise, a lot of this, how the market has changed, is actually due to the amazing platform of Shopify, which has made it so easy and seamless to get up and running, right? No matter where you are in the world as a merchant. And so what has that done to the market? It's made it much more competitive. If you talk to merchants now in this, what I would call second innings of e-commerce, many of them are saying, wow, it's really hard to acquire customers. Our CACs are through the roof. And what you're also seeing is that first wave of brands that got built, some of them, not many, but some of them started to play around with subscriptions. How can we think about retention? How can we think about loyalty? And you're seeing those brands. So they started out in that first wave. They may have been, you know, a mix of retail. So they sold into stores and sold online. So say call it, you know, a 50-50 split or some other ratio. And of their online D2C revenue through Shopify, you know, the majority would be one-time purchases. And then they were like, okay, let's try out subscriptions, right? And it would started out like 10%, 20%. And over the last couple of years, we're seeing it in our own data and also from the merchants themselves, is it's now hitting 50 plus percent of their revenue is recurring, right? And so it's grown over time. What we're now seeing, though, in the next wave of brands that are being built out the gate, the emerging brands, they are starting out subscription first. They have seen and taken the learnings from that first wave of e-commerce brands that got built and are like, wow, let's actually build in recurring revenue and subscriptions as the core part of our business. And we may do one time, but it's all in relation to building out a subscription model as the core fundamentals of our business. And that's from what's happening on the customer side and the merchant side. And you actually mentioned this, Steve, around, you know, I think founders of these brands and teams at the merchants are also understanding the operational component of this. What does recurring revenue give you? And this is something that the B2B SaaS world has understood for over two decades. And the media world, take Netflix or even Peloton or Disney Plus has gotten, you know, in the last decade or so, or maybe even less. These brands, I now talk to them, they're like, wow, Dalipin, you know, I didn't think that like running this would allow me the operational efficiency, meaning they can now forecast and demand plan better because they can forecast revenue, right? Which is critical. It's a critical piece of the story that I think now merchants are understanding. Wow, I can now put less into acquisition and more into retention, more into marketing, more into that brand loyalty piece, which is really how you differentiate from the juggernaut, right? In the space of Amazon reselling and the rest.
Right. You know, what's interesting too is I have a brand, I'll keep them nameless for now, but they're in the kitty litter market. And what's interesting is they're actually, and I think it comes back to exactly what you're talking about right now, this subscription first kind of methodology. They have one SKU, they're massively crushing it online. They have great technology built into their product. So number one is having a great product that, you know, there's market fit and the target audience is large. So obviously the pet market is huge. I mean, half of the world probably is cat owners and the other people are dog owners, but they're focusing exclusively on the cat market in kitty litter with one SKU, and they're massively crushing it, all because they have a subscription offering. Yes, they have the one-off, but they have the subscribe and save option and all the things you were mentioning. Do you have one cat? Do you have two cats? Do you have three cats? We're going to send exactly what you need. If you're getting too much, you can pause, you can change, you can do different things. It's all built into it. So I just want to make sure that we're talking the same language, or that you agree that that's what you're talking about when you say, you know, this subscription first, that brands are going down this kind of journey now.
That's exactly right, Steve. You hit it on the head. And I love that example of the merchant who is, you know, the kind of that single SKU or a few SKUs, hyper-focused, and then you can layer in one time. And I almost look at it, this is, you know, very common in the consumer goods world, is in the olden days, how would you test products? You try out things one time and you then figure out. And I think that's still going to happen. But very often, once you figure that out, you want to move as quickly as possible to that subscribe option, right? And really understand where the loyalty and retention lie. And so what we're seeing fundamentally is also from brands that are coming on to Upscribe is brands are coming in with this single or two to three SKUs. They've really honed what their product market fit is, right? Similar to a startup, right? What does that look like from a consumer perspective? And they've really built in, as you put it, the engine around, okay, what is the value add around subscription? And many of our brands actually call it membership, no surprise, right? In the same way you're a Netflix member or a Disney Plus member.
I love it. I love the membership idea and that building a community of people and all around that, and they're getting value. And then they have just the convenience factor of getting a subscription offering. If you love the product, I have another company that's in the men's kind of soap and shampoo market, quite popular, doing their thing on YouTube and really going gangbusters. They're finding a lot of success right now by having a subscription offering because people need consumable stuff. So kitty litter is one. Now we're talking men's soaps and shampoos and other different types of skincare products. You just kind of need that kind of a convenience factor because you love the product. You don't want to run out. And then it's one less thing to think about.
Indeed. And I'll add one thing if you're open to it, Steve, which is I think the ecosystem right now in what we're providing to merchants, this is ourselves and you know other solutions that are out there. I think we look at subscriptions right now or consumer buying patterns as binary. It's either you're a one-time buyer and it's transactional, or you're a subscriber and the assumption is then you're like loyal and you're engaged with the merchant, right? So it's, you're either one of the two. And I believe longer term, if we are looking to be more and more customer centric, right, that it's actually a continuum. So what do I mean by that? And this is what we're building into our solution. So say, for example, Steve, for that kitty litter brand, I bought on a monthly recurring basis kitty litter, right? So it comes every month to my house for my kitten or my cat. And I'm traveling 1 week or 1 month. And so I skip that shipment. And through data intelligence, right, our solution understands, okay, well, it looks like you're always traveling during that month, or maybe the 30-day frequency is more likely a 46-day frequency for you, right? And you have the options to be a lot more customer-centric around what does the frequency look like, learning when you can skip and being proactive with the customer. So I look at subscriptions going forward in the future as less about this, you're either one time or you're on this set schedule, but something along a continuum. Does that make sense?
Right, definitely. And what about flavor fatigue? When we talk about maybe consumable products, I find that that happens a lot with subscription companies where there's lots of different flavors or different types of the similar product. It could be a protein, it could be a granola bar of different flavors. Is that something that's on your radar too, about if people get kind of sick of the certain flavors, are there retention strategies built into the solution or are there best practices about, hey, you know, if you're thinking about like churning or unsubscribing to it, what are the reasons why you're unsubscribing? You know, have you thought about these flavors, or we have this option for you? I guess that's part of the retention or the non-churn, I guess, solution that could be built into Upscribe.
Yeah. So great point around retention. And you hit it on the head again, Steve, here with this idea around cancellation flow. So what we were most surprised about is in physical e-commerce, which is, you know, what we do for Shopify merchants here, when you're selling a physical good, so kitty litter or some other product. And what we find is that more often than not, the cancellation flow is literally click cancel and you cancel. So let's be clear, right, Steve? What's really interesting is that that is not the experience on the New York Times. That is not the experience on Netflix. So why in physical e-commerce, right, is our experience that we provide merchants, why is the offering click cancel and you cancel? So in our out-of-the-box portal, what we have here is, you know, a V1. It's in the early innings again, and we'll continue to iterate on this. But when you click cancel, you have the option to do two things, delay the shipment or swap the product, to your point around flavors, right, or other variants. Why is that important? We know from our data the most common reasons for churn are because I have too much of the product or I'm tired of that flavor or that variant, right? And so that's the V1, Steve, right? So think about where this goes. You can use intelligence to get even more personalized around the cancellation flow, right? And that's a huge part of thinking about what you can do in retention. So we've been in this world, which has been very transactional. And what we want to move is to be much more intelligent about thinking about retention once you have acquired that subscriber. And a big way in retention is through cancellation flows and iterating on those flows.
One thing that comes up my radar too is I've also heard just through feedback from the brands that I manage that a lot of times there is credit card failures as part of the subscription flow. And then how do you recover a lot of these payment failures? Because I find a lot of them are just the credit card's expired, or it's just some kind of a crazy network anomaly. And so how does Upscribe manage, I guess, these hard, I don't think hard, or are they soft declines? How do you manage all of that?
Yeah, so it's falls under the rubric of Dunning, right? Which is the term in the payments world for this. Yeah, no, you're spot on with that, which is actually, that's actually the majority reason for cancellation, right? Which is, or churn, sorry, which is payment failure or needing to update. And so we have notifications that are built in that are automated to be able to do this. And so that's a big part of it. I still put that though, Steve, in the fundamentals of managing a subscription, right? I still put that in the like, that is table stakes in terms of the offering that we provide. Where I think the real win here is, you know, in a V1, and there's a V2 and a V3 from this going forward, is really thinking, at least in retention, how do you think about cancellation? And also, how do you think about the flows on that? And then also, how do you think about, to your point around the flavor or other variant attributes, how do you think about cross and upsells? Right. So if I'm subscribed to, for example, you know, a coffee brand and I'm subscribed to certain grounds from a certain region or area, how do I think about the best complementary product to that? Right. If I want to have the customer engaged with me, not just on a single SKU, but on maybe more than one SKU, and they are now a multiple SKU, multiple subs, maybe. How do I think about that component so I'm not in this cycle of like, okay, it's the same product all the time, always?
I'm going to pivot to another question about competitors in this space. You know, with Shopify releasing their subscription API, you've obviously integrated with that. It's publicly available, but it is quite complex. That's why there's very few partners that are doing it well. I have one brand actually that has chosen, because they have a very large dev team, that they have chosen to actually take these public docs and do it themselves. Not recommended, because it's very dev heavy and there's lots of iterations over time of what the customer experience you want, where dealing with Upscribe directly, you're just completely narrowly focused on the subscription offering and the overall customer experience. But there are others in the space, Bold Commerce, Recharge, Order Groove, maybe even Skio. There's a few out there. Are you able to talk a little bit about, because you're playing in the same space and it's a blue ocean out there, because most brands on Shopify do not have a subscription offering. If there's like, I don't know, 1.7 million or I'm sure we're on our way to 2 million. There's a lot of merchants out there that are not doing subscription offerings. So to have a handful of like four or five kind of subscription offerings out there for 1.7 million potential customers, it's a blue ocean. And I think we're at the early stages of a lot of things. So Abel, talk a little bit about maybe how Upscribe is, you mentioned the retention side of it and how you're differentiating. I just would love to hear it in your own words about, like, not maybe specifically against these competitors, these other peers in your industry, but how are you differentiating yourself a little bit from the market?
Yeah, no, great question. And yeah, as you mentioned, I love the way you framed it around, you know, the size of the merchant base on Shopify, and then there being like a couple of players here that do this, what you and I could consider, if I can put words in your mouth here, a very phenomenal next wave of e-commerce is happening, right? Around subscriptions. And so I'll go back to our earlier comment here, Steve, which is, again, great solutions, Bold, Recharge, and others, and they've been around for a long time, and they've really shaped the ecosystem in a great way, and hats off to them for building phenomenal businesses. And where I think we differentiate is that we are focused very much on, like, yeah, we do all the stuff around managing subscriptions and processing recurring orders and charges. Like, that's the basics of it. But when we talk to merchants and we think about, like, and I know this cancellation flow sounds super basic. It sounds like, okay, Dilipan, that just sounds like a must have. You'd be surprised, Steve, that like the offerings that are out there, right? And what we're looking to build here, thinking really deeply here about, if you talk to the head of e-commerce at a mid-market brand or a mid-enterprise brand or the founder at an SMB brand, and you ask them about subscriptions and you really dig into, like, what are they looking to do here? Yes, they want to be able to change the shipment date or update the payment address or payment card. Those are all the basics. But when you really dig into what they're doing, they're looking to retain that subscriber. One. Number two, They are looking to grow the LTV for that subscriber. That's growth. And the third piece here is acquisition. How do I get more subscribers? How do I convert my one-time purchasers into subscribers? I'll give you an example of what that third bucket is. So we have some brands we've talked to, and we run our own data on their numbers, and we're like, wow. So they offer, as an example, a 30 and 60 day subscription. And we looked at their data and we're like, wow, guess what? You all have customers buying in January and then again in April and then again 3 months later, but they don't offer a quarterly frequency. Now again, that sounds super basic, right? But can you see where we're going with this? Where there's like, there's a lot more iteration here beyond the standard, like, hey, change the shipment date. Okay, skip the, like, there's a whole world we need to be moving into in terms of the product that we provide and how we think about being much more merchant and end customer, in this case, subscriber centric. And so that's really our focus in terms of how we think about the market, I believe, differently than our competitors in the ecosystem.
Well, that's great. Great feedback. And thank you for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about the plus side of the organization, because Shopify has the core plans all the way up to advance. And then there are the mid-market ones, usually over $1 million in kind of annual revenue. You usually mature your way into Shopify Plus. And there's a whole list of value props of getting Shopify scripts and Shopify Flow when you get access to Launchpad and increased API calls. And there's a whole host of different things. I just was curious to know about, I guess, what's the extra value you get if you're a Shopify Plus brand and you know the benefits of being on subscription, you want to go down that journey? What extra value does Upscribe give to Shopify Plus brands?
Yeah, so most of that will revolve around scripts. So there's nuances around the types of subscriptions you can offer. But for the most part, the new APIs are really good, regardless of whether you're on Plus or not, in terms of functionality. And they're continuing to roll out quite a bit here, right? But, you know, I mean, you know this as well as I do, having been at Upify for some time, around scripts, you know, the checkout, being able to make changes to, you know, the look and feel there, you can do on Plus, right? But in terms of our experience, which is, you know, the checkout is now Shopify. And then once you, now the post-purchase subscriber experience on the customer portal, all of that, whether you're Plus or not, you have our goal and intention has and will always be providing an enterprise-grade solution to any merchant, whether they're a Plus or not. Right. But the Plus does give you abilities to change the components of that, as well as the pieces here on scripts.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, because I think that's been a lot of the challenge, I guess, on the version one of some of the other competitors in the marketplace. I know there's been a migration path as of late to get people on what we're going to call more the integrated checkout, meaning typically the way subscription offerings work. And I'm sure a lot of people haven't noticed, but those with a discerning eye that can look into the address bar, you can see that it usually goes to a subdomain, checkout.com. Something or other, and the checkout processes are happening over there, wherever that is, at that checkout company. And that's where the card vaulting and all the details are happening over there. And then a webhook back to a thank you page back on Shopify. And I think it's a much better customer experience to have it all happen all from within the same domain, because there's a couple of things that I see have come up quite a bit on the subdomain checkout option, is that there's some attribution problems that can happen. Sometimes there's double entries and there's some hacky workarounds and stuff, you know, through Elevar or through Little Data to be able to do proper attribution in Google Analytics for subscription offerings. And the other thing is that this cross domain, we're going to call it, or the subdomain, Shopify scripts didn't work. And that's an important part of Shopify Plus's brand's value, is being able to have line item scripts and shipping scripts and payment scripts and things just working correctly as part of your brand experience. Well, especially from the cart level, and now having it all happen on Shopify's domain natively with your subscription partner like Upscribe, it all works perfectly. So that's one thing I love.
Yeah, that's 100% right. There are a number of things in the new APIs, and hats off to Shopify for really building out a phenomenal API, the APIs for subscriptions and opening this up to the community. We've been live and active in the market for even prior to the APIs. And I mean, just so you understand, we out the gate as a business, you know, almost 3 years ago now, built a more integrated version than existed by our competitors into Shopify. So we did not have a duplicate domain. It was the same domain. We did not duplicate products, discounts, shipping, and taxes, which WordGroup or other solutions. And so we, not, and again, I don't mean to sound that we were prescient and knowing that this was coming down the pipe, but more so that we just understood that from a merchant perspective, again, in the idea and the value of being merchant-centric, understood the value of making this as simple as possible. Why would a merchant want to have two different product SKU data systems, right? And so we've always had that be one system where we're pulling directly from Shopify for products, discounts, shipping, and taxes.
Let's talk a little bit about the partner ecosystem, kind of before I get into maybe some storytelling a little bit here. I'd love to hear a story in a minute, but there's a lot of brands are using on-page kind of personalization tools, and there's some AI and machine learning going on. Like I think of brands like LimeSpot or Nosto, High Conversion has been quite popular. Rebuy Engine is on my radar right now too, is a very interesting smart cart solution. So do you play nicely with others in the Shopify ecosystem from a personalization perspective? Because this is on-page, trying to motivate people to add items to the cart or take the subscribe and save option instead of the single option. And so I'm just curious and kind of what your mindset is around personalization engines and subscription offerings.
Yeah. So the way I love this question because it really speaks to partnerships and it's a really important part of how we think about growth for our company and being, you know, doing right by the merchant, which is we want to, and this is true also for if you think about email with Klaviyo or Attentive or PostScript on SMS or even Gorgeous on the CX side, which is we want to understand and partner with them. And I want to say this very explicitly, Steve, so it's clear, not a basic, we want to do deep integrations with the best in class next generation tech stack. Does that make sense? And so really thinking about, okay, with Klaviyo as an example, how do we think about piping them the right data? Because the merchant is not going to want to do emails in two different systems. That's the ideal. If we want to move to a system where that's the case. So on personalization, we're looking at a couple of these companies now and as potential partners and understanding, okay, well, who is thinking about this in a really merchant-centric way, right? And specifically for us, really thinking about this that as it relates to one-time versus subscription. So will the personalization sector is one area we're going to put a lot of time into, but for us, to be honest, the lower hanging fruit right now, which is much more relevant to merchants that are running subscriptions or want to, is how are you leveraging email and segmentation? How are you leveraging SMS? And specifically, Steve, how are you leveraging CX solutions so that the customer service rep, right, the unsung hero here in this story, is really understanding how they can do their job even more effectively, meeting the needs of the subscriber.
Very cool. So let's talk about Q4. That's where we're at right now. I mean, in the US, it's back to school right now. In Canada, it will be in the next few weeks. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're in the first week of September and Labor Day happens. There's a lot of stuff happening. And I know you can probably see the buzz on LinkedIn. There's a lot of webinars and a lot of kind of BFCM and Giving Tuesdays. Lots of stuff going on right now where people are starting to ramp up. Even Shopify has been starting to be creating a lot of webinars and a lot of content, you know, merchant-facing content to educate people about starting early and thinking about what your Q4 and your Black Friday, Cyber Monday, what's your holiday readiness? What are you doing? And so I would love to hear it from you. Like, what are you recommending today for Shopify brands to be ready and prepared for this kind of inevitable rush?
Yeah. And so as you can imagine, no surprise, right? Ad spend on acquisition goes up right through the roof in Q4, right? And so what I would encourage, and this is what we're doing for our own brands and merchants on our platform, and this is no surprise and probably obvious coming from me as CEO of Upscribe, but when you're increasing ad spend this much, think about what does this mean in regards to retention, right? Because you can put all that ad spend in and then acquire a bunch of customers that buy from you one time. But what we found in looking at the data from our own merchant base across vertical here is the ones who really have built out, you know, even basic customer journeys to showcase subscription or membership in this case benefits, in addition to the classic discounts and offers, have really succeeded in having that customer they acquire in Q4 through BF, Black Friday or Cyber Monday, continue on and purchase again in Q1, right? That's the ideal, right? where you acquire them in Q4, but then they're an ongoing customer. And so, but to be very clear, Steve, the customer journey, yes, it's awareness, it's intent to buy, et cetera, but can you get them even further down the funnel to be like, oh, I only want to buy from you. I want to buy on a recurring basis, right? So what does that customer journey look like in showcasing the benefits beyond a simple discount offer to buy one time?
Right. Yeah, I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Let's pivot a bit over to a story, because I think we all love stories. We love to be, I would say, inspired and think about, you know, could I be in that same situation with my brand? Because we have a lot, you know, 10,000 some people listening to this episode today, and they may be involved in subscription, or they may want to get involved in a subscription. So I think this education, the inspiration part of it, I think it really does motivate everybody, including myself, with, because I'm merchant facing, where I'm trying to motivate brands to improve their efficiencies or help them to profitably grow their revenue, or, and the ultimate is this lifetime customer loyalty. So would love, hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot here, but would love to hear a story about someone that's implemented Upscribe and kind of like what's happened from the problem to Upscribe coming into the equation, and then what was the end result?
So I'll give you the example of Four Sigmatic. They're one of our early customers and just a phenomenal brand who I'm sure you've heard of over the years, both in terms of, you know, brand awareness, customer centricity, which we really appreciated, one of our core values here. And they were one of our early customers. We listened super closely to them as best we could in regards to what were their pain points and what they wanted to deliver to their subscribers. And they actually do call them members. And they really focused on how do we delight, right? And how do we build excitement for in our end subscriber experience? And we looked to really bring that to the subscriber experience, primarily through the portal, customer portal that you log into, but also through email and very soon through SMS. The part that's really interesting for us, and we were both surprised by this, as was the team, is what they realized the benefits from being on Upscribe and running their membership program with our solution is how they've been able to scale and do so in an amazingly efficient and profitable way. And so they've been with us for several years, and they have increased by leaps and bounds their membership revenue, overall revenue as a company, but overall their membership revenue. But they saw a significant decrease in the amount of support time required to engage and service and support those members. So in the past, as they were scaling, they were actually scaling operations and support teams to manage those subscribers. And on Upscribe, they've seen the reverse happen. And so they've been able to allocate that freeing up of time and money into other areas more related to product and to growth, which is where you want to focus.
Yeah, this is great. And then so what happened, though, based on doing that implementation? I know they've been a customer for quite a while. Like, what were some of the end results that you've seen?
Yeah, so they basically, you know, increased subscriptions and subscriber their base by a significant amount, but they decreased their support tickets by over half, right? And so where in prior iterations, they, as they were scaling, they were adding support team members, customer service reps, other people to basically help manage all of the like nuts and bolts of subscriptions. Our solution does put such a premium on that end subscriber experience. Many of those issues in the design and how the system worked for the end subscriber were resolved. And so they were able to then use that time to basically spend more on retention, figure out things that are more interesting around the customer experience, right? And this is really where I think the beauty of, if you can get subscriptions right, it really ends up being this amazing scale machine for merchants as they grow.
Right. No, I love this. Well, let's talk about the future for Upscribe. I mean, I know you mentioned a bit that the partner ecosystem and aligning yourself with the best of breed that's out there, you definitely don't want to be a Swiss Army knife of all things marketing strategy. You know, you're staying in your lane and really helping people with their subscription offering and the whole customer experience around that from the merchant side and from the customer side. So that part I get. Is there anything else that you can kind of talk about? Maybe what your North Star might be for the remainder of this year or into next year? Like, is there any innovation? Just end of the day, I just just nice to get warm and fuzzy about, like, how are you going to continue to offer value and assistance for Shopify brands that want to get into subscriptions?
Yeah, great question, Steve. I think there are two components here. So we talked a bit about retention and those three areas, right? Retention, growth, and acquisition in that order of priority. And so we have like the beginnings of flows and the work product related to retention. We really, you know, in Q4 going into Q1, want to focus on the growth side and then acquisition probably mid next year. So this time next year, really. And I'm pointing this out in that order of priority because if you ask the key folks at emerging brands or scaling brands on Shopify or Plus, they will tell you in order of priority, retention, growth, and acquisition, right? Which is actually kind of the flip of what most people think about. It's like, well, acquire, do growth, and then get retention. I think we're in a new world right now, right? And I think subscriptions allow you to really rethink that model. I will say also, Steve, you and I have been deep in this space and you've been a key thought leader in this, in Shopify and e-commerce overall for some time. I really want to spend more time and resources also in education. And so what do I mean by that? I really believe you mentioned 1.75 million merchants, right? Almost 2 million at some point very soon on Shopify. And we're still at like maybe a third of those merchants only that run subscriptions, right? So there is a phenomenal opportunity here. And again, I don't mean to be self-serving, like they should all use Upscribe. No, use whatever solution is best for the merchant, right? We want to really hang our hat here on being a thought partner to merchants as it relates to education in, hey, here are all the benefits. So as an example, Steve, most merchants only see that operational efficiency and they're like, oh, wow. They see it after they've launched subscriptions. It's not obvious out the gate, right? And I really want to, you know, that's probably one example. There's probably other examples. And I want to really leverage our team's expertise and my expertise here and having worked in B2B SaaS and other folks who have worked in digital media, or even folks who have worked at Dollar Shave Club, BarkBox, all these companies that have done phenomenal things as it relates to subscriptions, right? And it's really that education component that I think is a real untapped opportunity in driving this next wave of e-commerce.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I know that there are, like, certainly on the Plus side, I know that there are some webinars and some really good guides and stuff about inside the Plus kind of learning academy. I know even Shopify has produced a lot of content. Now, I'm currently syndicating a lot of the Upscribe content on e-commerce Fastlane just to kind of cast a little bit of a wider net of discovery of just subscriptions and kind of best practices and next steps. And just, I think that's part of building your thought leadership too and saying, listen, like, we're putting our stake in the ground here and this is what we believe and know is working for other brands. And that, and the more that education component gets out there into the wild, then more people are like, yeah, okay, I have to make this a priority. And I appreciate what Upscribe is doing by educating the market. It's like, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk does it really well, you know, with his book, this jab, 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 right hook, meaning that, you know, it's give, 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 then ask. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're coming on this podcast today and you're sharing a lot of great knowledge bombs. And I know it's important to have this, you call it the subscription-centric kind of mindset around your brand. And I just massively appreciate that. And I think we're all on a great journey right now in this blue ocean of potential customers, merchants that really want to have that kind of relationship with their customers and building this membership. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you've been at this game for a long time and providing value in the ecosystem. So again, privileged to be on this podcast and chatting with you about this.
So we are nearing the end of the show. Do you have any, you have a lot, but maybe can you summarize any insights or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I think it's coming back to the main sort of vision here, Steve, that we want to empower merchants to really think about a subscription first e-commerce business model. Right. I think we're again in the early innings. And if you look at, you know, as a consumer, right, even the iPhone, the phone that I have, I'm a subscriber to the iPhone, right? I pay on a monthly basis, right? So I don't think many consumers even realize how our world is now, how we think about commerce is on subscription. And we're still in the early innings as it relates to physical e-commerce. Right. And I think there's a whole world here to explore around how do you better serve the end subscriber, in this case, customer. Right. And for us, that's the merchant in doing right by them as it regards to really the education around the importance and relevance of this business model and how it can really move you from this transactional to more relational commerce.
So how can people learn more about your solution?
So we can go to our website, upscribe.io, UPSCRIBE.io, and we're there online. We're also on LinkedIn quite a bit, and we're starting our education content, putting out great stuff this coming month. That's all happening as well, but feel free to reach out to us on our website. We're responsive and happy to help in any way, and even if it's not about, you know, using our solution, just so you, if you want to learn about how we see this market evolving, what we can do in regards to subscriptions, whether or not you use Upscribe, that's not what we focus on. It's helping merchants understand the benefits of a subscription first business model.
Yeah, just opening up a dialogue, just, you know, and I've gladly give some warm intros too. So those that ping me on social or email me directly, if you need a warm intro to Dilip and let me know, we can definitely, him and or some of the team members can certainly help you just maybe do a little audit and kind of understand where are you at today, where do you want to go to, and see if Upscribe is a great solution for you. And I know we did speak, I got to make sure I get this in for the end of the recording, but I understand that you would like to have a little offer for those that may want to take Upscribe for a spin and or learn more about what your offerings are. And maybe I'll let you have the floor and share what you're chatting with me about in the green room.
Yeah, I know. I see, and you mentioned it earlier, Steve, in regards to the Q4 coming up. And, you know, we'd love to get brands to come over. If you think we're a good solution and we can help you grow your recurring revenue, we're going to offer, you know, no fee migrations to Upscribe. So if you're currently using, you know, running subscriptions and you're looking for a better solution and or just want to learn more, feel free to ping us on our website at upscribe.io, and we will white glove a mic. I know migration is a really sticky point, right, for merchants, as you can imagine, because data, really important data. And so we make sure to do right by our merchants as it relates to that switchover.
So it sounds like there's two parts to it. So there'd be the migration part for those that are on existing, I would call it version one kind of checkout flows, and you're looking for more thought leadership and more ideas and more integrated checkout. So you have access to scripts and proper attribution and things like that, and you'll help with that migration flow. And I appreciate that. The other side are those that maybe just are on the fence right now and not sure what's next from a subscription offering and what they might want to do. They can read your content, they've listened to this podcast, maybe they want some warm intros to your team. So what I'll do is I'll have a landing page set up. So the ecommercefastlane.com/Upscribe, I'll redirect that to your landing page on your site. And then there you can kind of onboard people, existing subscriber customers, like subscription companies, and or those that are new to subscription. They want to kind of open up the dialogue with some success person kind of inside your organization to say, hey, here's where we're at today. We want to go down this journey. Have a look at our brand today. Are we a good fit? And I think you guys together can kind of make a decision and then go to the next step with Upscribe.
That sounds great, Steve. I really appreciate that.
Beautiful. Well, you know, as you know, Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And very clear to me today for you coming on the show, Upscribe really is in tight alignment, I think, with really wanting to help brands to grow revenue through subscription offerings. And I just want to help. I just want to thank you, number one, for coming on the show. Really building lifetime customer loyalty, I think, really is the key to all of this. And just with, as you mentioned, like these rising acquisition costs and retention, I just love the order that you put things in this podcast. Retention, then growth, then acquisition. It's a little bit upside down to what we know of today, but I agree with you that it's definitely retention should be first of your existing customers. How can we get them on a recurring model? Because it's in the best interest of both the brand and the customer. And so I love it. That's part of the growth engine that you get by getting people on a subscription offering. And then repurposing all of those funds, the revenue that's been generated on the retention and growth engine, now helping with the acquisition part of the business, kind of the full funnel. So I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing this knowledge and your vision and just giving back the Shopify ecosystem.
I appreciate it, Steve, and thank you for the opportunity. It's been an honor to share this content with you all and your listener base, which is growing and exponential as every day goes on.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. Well, have yourself an awesome day.
You too.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Frontend, a powerful storefront solution from the team at Shogun. If you're tuned into the e-commerce space, and you likely are since you're a subscriber here at E-commerce Fastlane, you've no doubt heard about going headless or building a headless commerce storefront. And if you've gone as far as exploring some of these headless solutions, you know there's an incredible amount of info to wade through and to consider when making a storefront pivot. You may have heard that headless commerce means a move from a commerce-led to a content-led solution, or maybe you've heard that it represents a lean-in more towards an API-first approach. Either way, and as with any largely uncharted territory, it can be hard to work out what's growing faster, the technology or the terminology. The great thing about headless commerce is that it can get your Shopify store to load incredibly fast, eliminate the compromises when it comes to your brand's look and feel. You get full front-end control and flexibility, which will help you convert more of your website visitors. Amazing brands like Groove Life, Nomad, OneBlade, and so many more have taken their storefronts headless using Shogun's front-end platform. You can increase your conversion rate with a less than 1 second page load, and more importantly, you can empower your e-commerce team to manage content more efficiently with Shogun Front-End. They truly are the next generation in e-commerce experience platform. Request a demo and see what the front end can do for your Shopify brand. You can check them out at getshogun.com. That's GETSHOGUN, getshogun.com/front-end for more details. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.